Welcome to Crypto Nights, where we help you finally make sense of the trending world of cryptocurrencies. So gather your virtual piggy bank and let's get started.
Hi, Cyrus. Welcome to Crypto Night. We are so excited to have you on our podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And why don't we kick it off with a background to our listeners about who you are, what your background is, what you have done before, and then let's get into Split.
Sure. So, as you mentioned, my name is Cyrus Degetchian, co-founder and CEO of Split. You know, I bought my first Bitcoins in 2014 when they were available on Coinbase right after the Mt. Gox incident. And I was an early adopter of Ethereum technology. But my journey starts way before all of this, when I took a break from computer science to get into the financial markets when I was a teenager, 18 years old, so my first year out of college, I was infatuated and enamored by buyers and sellers and stock market. I got into the real estate, CDO, mortgage-backed securities industry. It was very, very exciting times. However, you know, there was a lot to learn, you know, for me being such an innate young age and having not finished my undergraduate degree. I was very fortunate to get a job at a brokerage firm, which it's still in existence today. So they were doing something right. And that's what really gave me my chops about, you know, financial markets. Decided to go back to school so I could advance my career and change my major to economics. And I still took some CS classes. I'm a techie at heart. During that time period, the financial markets crashed. I still loved economics, but, you know, my passion was shifting back towards technology after being away for 5 years. So I started a job at Deloitte Consulting in digital marketing and e-commerce, specializing in enterprise web software implementations. So I've been, you know, building large software strategies and implementations for almost 10 years now. At one point, I created Deloitte Digital with a bunch of other consultants at Deloitte. It was a startup within Deloitte umbrella, and that was really exciting. And I caught the entrepreneur bug. So a few years later, I decided to Deloitte Digital at the time and start my own projects. So I started my own consulting practice, which specialized in helping organizations improve their processes and behaviors and software implementation. So I obtained my Agile and Coactive Coach certifications. I had clients such as PayPal, Charles Schwab, Bank of America, a lot of fintech. And as you'll see, like a lot of my background is in technology and finance, fintech combined, which ultimately led me to where I am today. But I focused on raising the awareness and consciousness of organizations to become driven by purpose and enable their employees to become autonomous and have self-governance would ultimately lead to delivering value faster to their customers with higher quality. And that was kind of my niche. At the same time, I had a couple other projects that I was working on, mainly building direct-to-consumer software in a travel space. So you have, you know, an airline who wants to sell tickets. You know, I wanted to streamline that supply chain of selling an airline seat. And then that was my first introduction to middlemen with global distribution systems and how that's an issue and it's really hard to break away from them and create software to do so. And then about 2016, I was introduced to Ethereum by my co-founder and a friend, Taylor Monahan, Jason, my co-founder, had known for a while. And I was just, you know, really excited about the technology and being an entrepreneur, having the ability to build an application that's already inherently installed on every other application or computer that's running the blockchain. That just floored me as a techie. Then since 2016, I pretty much quit all my jobs, all my other projects, and I've been, you know, learning and building about blockchain.
Wow, that's a fascinating background. Thank you for sharing that with us. Yeah. And from that point to Split, how did that happen? And so I get your entry into blockchain and Bitcoins and Ethereum. So yeah. From that, and I understand your fintech background. So it looks like you were preparing for the perfect storm with all these ingredients thrown in.
So. So, you know, I've always was a person that, like, I was curious. I would always like to try things. And if it didn't resonate with me, I was okay with it and happy because it was one step closer to me finding what my purpose was. And like you said, you know, I did a little bit of finance, a little bit of tech, a little bit of startups, a little bit of coaching, a little bit of, raising awareness and moving towards teal organizations. Which it's a concept that's being really pushed by Ken Wilber moving organizations from, you know, a capitalistic driven, profits driven to more purpose driven. All of these things have equipped me to, you know, really understand and, you know, pioneer in the blockchain space. So in 2016, I started learning about blockchain. I wrote my first code using Template and Solidity, trying to understand how that works. So it was just all tinkering, trial and error, networking, talking to people, understanding as much as I can, and collaborating, you know, helping other people and advising for whatever I knew and knowledge sharing. And then by early 2017, I started to form the idea of how, you know, blockchain can really change and evolve society. And that was the remove of removing middlemen functions, intermediaries, and that started to really be ingrained into my DNA. And, you know, from then I started to, you know, see, all right, what were the past things that I worked on? And one of my projects that I was working on called Flight was a way to create a direct-to-consumer sell of an airline seat last minute. So it's kind of like Hotels Tonight, but for flying. And one of the issues I kept on running into is this middleman software called a global distribution system that every airline had to go through before they could sell it to a consumer. And they would take, you know, a little profits per transaction or per query. And it was such a behemoth. And I didn't have the tools at that time to be able to, or the technology or resources to be able to replace them. Now, come blockchain, that was my catalyst into building Split. Taking from my previous experiences, saying that, hey, we could apply something where we could create a peer-to-peer transaction without the need of this middleman of aggregating all of the airline information into one central location and then spreading it across to all travel agencies. Why not create this decentralized network where all the information could be shared? So I started networking more with my friend, Jason, who I met in MBA school. So I was at MBA school this whole time too. I forgot to mention, at UC Irvine MBA. And he was a JD MBA. So he's been really leading, the intersection of law and blockchain. He's one of the, you know, more prominent figures in that space today. And, you know, after a couple weekends and a couple beers, you know, we said, hey, let's do this. Let's start building our, decentralized application. And what we really wanted to focus on is, you know, coming back from my software implementation days and my agile coaching was, I valued working software more than just a white paper and a website. So I didn't want to be, you know, just another fish in the pond, but we really wanted to build something that had value to consumers and to, you know, this eventual ecosystem that we wanted to build. So, you know, we started building, you know, early into 2017, we had our first demo up and running. By the end of 2017, and now, you know, we're in our alpha, moving to our beta, and, you know, I would invite anybody who wants to try it to visit our website at, you know, spl.yt, just Split, and go to our live app.
By the way, I like your URL, spl.yt. Very unique, phenomenal name and a link there. So who should be interested in Split? How do they use Split? What are the benefits? I'm guessing that it is in e-commerce, and I'm guessing that given the experience you had with the middleman, you're trying to get rid of them in some sense.
Let me start with what we believe in. So at everything we do at Split, we believe in creating tools and awareness that empower people to achieve their goals in the most effective and efficient way possible. So that could be a seller, a buyer, a marketplace, a validator, arbitrator, anybody who transacts online. And that's pretty much the whole world. So, you know, our use case specifically starts with sellers, though. You know, you have to create the supply. And that was the issue that I was running into in my previous experiences. It all starts about how you can, you know, offer your product to the market. So let's imagine how e-commerce works today. I have I'm a vendor. I want to sell a textbook. You know, I would then have to go to, you know, post it in places like Amazon, eBay, Walmart. And the reason why I do that is to maximize my market potential, to get more traffic and more heads looking at my items so I could sell the item faster. Well, this costs me time and money to go through, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 different outlets. Not only that, I risk being censored without any recourse because the top 5 e-commerce companies in the US have over 60% market share and they have all the bargaining power. This has happened to me and a few friends who have been removed, you know, with no reason or recourse, you know, our listings from eBay, Craigslist, even Facebook Marketplace. So conversely, buyers would have to browse multiple sites to be able to find the price they want of that exact item. And, you know, as a seller, that becomes frustrating. And that's exactly why I would go to as many marketplaces as I can find to maximize my potential for sale. Once a buyer buys the product, I then have to go delist it from every other marketplace. And that's manual work, time consuming, or have to pay someone to do that for me, which again is costs. And it really gets into my bottom line. And as a seller, this could, you know, cause either double sales, meaning I sold it in two places. Now I risk losing reputation in one of the marketplaces. And this is, you know, happens very often during holiday sales for high demand products, you know, especially during the holidays, or I have to pay somebody to do it that cuts into my bottom line. So, you know, what can we do? You know, and that's why, you know, luckily for sellers, we built Split and the Split protocol. So in that same scenario, imagine that these, you know, e-commerce marketplaces are connected to Split. Now, as a seller, all I would have to do is list my item for sale in one location, whether if it's my own website or Amazon or whatever. And if all of these marketplaces that are connected to Split, once I post it in one location, and by the nature of decentralized or distributed ledger technology, that inventory will automatically populate to every interconnected marketplace on the Split ecosystem. So I only want to have to post once, and then my item is for sale everywhere on the blockchain, every marketplace that's connected to the blockchain. This removes the need for any middlemen. This removes any opportunity for accounting errors in affiliate sales, in commissions and invoicing. And this protects buyers because we use escrows and smart contracts to ensure that the buyer gets the product they want and what they were promised, without them actually having to pay somebody, and that money then gets dispersed to the seller. So we're, you know, in short, we're creating a more efficient e-commerce system that saves buyers, sellers, marketplaces time and money. And then we have token mechanics that encourage fair and secure transactions.
Fantastic. So which are those channels that are in the Split ecosystem? Demo.
Yeah. So right now, we have, the decentralized, listing base, which is this world inventory that we're creating, a world connected inventory on the blockchain. So right now we have two, demo marketplaces that we just created, so people could test. And then we have some other, you know, testers marketplaces that are connected. The second feature that we have is our, automated affiliate reward. So if you have two marketplaces that facilitate a transaction, they could then split the commission reward, kind of like a buyer and seller's agent in a real estate transaction. So, you know, I acquired the inventory, put it on the blockchain, and then another marketplace acquires the customer, and then, you know, they find the item, and then those two marketplaces will then get paid the commissions that the seller has decided to pay. And the higher the commissions I pay, the more motivated another marketplace is to promote and sell that product on their market. So those features are now live and operational on Robson.
Eventually, who will be those marketplaces? Is it going to be Amazon? Is it going to be eBay, or is it going to be some other channels? What will be eventually integrated into those marketplaces?
Yeah, great question. So, you know, I could see a world where Amazons and eBays and all them are connected into a decentralized e-commerce ecosystem, but I don't think they will be the first movers. The first movers will be the people who are suffering right now because of all the high fees that Amazon and eBay take, or they've been censored. So I'm looking at, you know, small, medium businesses, Etsy's, Redbubble, Teespring, Solution 6, Society 6. You know, there's all these, you know, smaller marketplaces that are, you know, have hard time competing with, you know, the Amazons, or, you know, if they join the Amazon, they're going to have to pay high fees, which might not be a profitable or sustainable business. So those will be our immediate customers. And, you know, we, like I said, we have, you know, about less than 100, you know, users right now in our ecosystem, all testing and trying and prepping for, you know, bring this thing live and going to market.
So you see that the market is polarized.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Amazon, for example, and you're saying these are all adversely impacted. So let's start with that, because they have high degree of motivation to make something happen.
Yeah, so, absolutely. Yeah.
So that makes a lot of sense. So now Let's imagine there is, you pick one of the companies that you're talking about, one of the SMBs, small, medium sized businesses. So, obviously they will check out your demo. They're excited about it. Mm-hmm. And do you have a timeline when something will go live? When can they start actually selling stuff and buying stuff? What is in store in over the next few months? What are you making happen?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, again, this comes back from my past experiences. You know, I do believe in getting value out to, you know, customers or users as fast as possible in the shortest lead time, but we also want to, you know, deliver with the maximum quality. You know, this is people's livelihoods, so we want to ensure proper test before we get to that point. So right now, you know, our timelines look like we would love to have, you know, our first transactions happen, you know, in progression, right? So small iterations, small batches by the end of the summer, and then start moving, you know, more and more inventory as we see more successful transactions on the blockchain, you know, throughout the rest of the year.
Okay. So how would it work if I'm an SMB? Mm-hmm. How do I start working with Split? Do I have to download some software? Do I have to start populating my inventory? Can you walk me through some step-by-step approach?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So our goal is to make it as easy as possible. You know, we believe in efficiencies and effective solutions. And we've created a page just for developers and or devs who want to be able to connect the marketplace. And if you don't have the, you know, technical competency, we've made it as easy as possible. And we have a support team to help you out. So all you would do is go to our website, spl.yt, Split for short. We have a devs page right there at the top. You click it and it gives you, you know, step-by-step instructions on how you could connect your marketplace, whether if it's on Shopify, WooCommerce, or you have a custom stack solution, you know, we will help you through that whole whole process of connecting your business and your database essentially of your inventory. So it'll sync with the blockchain and then put that inventory item or SKU on the blockchain that any other seller could sell. You know, we have an SDK. So you would download an SDK, and we would have, it's not necessarily an API, but connectors is the better word that connects, to the Split protocol on the blockchain. And again, if you're not, you know, technical savvy, don't worry. We have a, you know, big support team that will be happy to help you out and get you acclimated to the Split protocol.
And who is in charge? Who is responsible for generating buyer traction? How do we get the visitors to our, you know, so I have some product I want to sell. Maybe I want to sell a book. So mm-hmm. I figure out how to connect it and into my Split app. Is Split going to be an app? Is it how it's going to operate? Is it a web app or a mobile app?
So that's a great question. And let's make that clear right now. So Split is just the protocol. We're not building any type of user interface. So the people who are going to be creating these user interfaces, they will be the ones that are building businesses and traffic to come to their site. So imagine a city, and the city is an e-commerce city, and you have buildings and sellers and buyers of all alike. Split is all the piping underneath to ensure that there is fair, secure, transparent transactions happening in this new internet of shopping city that we're creating. So, you know, for instance, let me give you an example of how this will work in the real life. I have two marketplaces, Marketplace A and B. They both connect their marketplace to the Split protocol, and then their inventories will cross-pollinate. So if I'm selling textbooks and someone else is selling, let's say, paper, right? And somehow, you know, their customers might need textbooks and paper, like students, for instance, that's their target market. I could cross-pollinate my inventory. So when I'm on one site, as a user, I could say, hey, I need a textbook. I also needed some paper and utensils and school supplies. I could all buy it in one spot. That Marketplace A now gets a referral commission and revenue from Marketplace B. Marketplace B actually gets a sale without the need of actually having to acquire a customer to come to their site. So they're getting the fruits of their marketing, or sometimes without even any marketing, and being able to sell their product.
Okay. And your protocol enables a seller to set, for example, this is a percentage that I want to pay for an affiliate. So the protocol will enable me to do that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
The protocol will enable, what I'm trying to see what the protocol will help me do besides. So I'm able to, if I'm a Shopify owner, mm-hmm. I can somehow connect that to the protocol, and then through the protocol, get distribution to others who are connected to that? Is that how it's
going to be? Yeah, absolutely.
And then I'm going to publish how much percentage commission or affiliate fees I'm willing to pay.
Correct.
Which determines, so somebody who wants to be an affiliate, maybe he's a blogger, has a lot of traffic coming to his website.
Absolutely.
And he wants to connect that to this and say, hey guys, I'm looking to make money. And I see I can reorder these in the highest profit. I can sell this and this and this and this. And then I connect them to my log and my visitors suddenly become potential buyers of the products that I've got.
That's exactly the type of innovative and forward thinking marketplaces we like to see. So like you hit the nail on the head, we could have influencers who have blogs curate their own inventory list from this global inventory without actually having to have any supply or any supply chain management understanding, and just have their users be able to click a button and click buy, and then that seller would drop ship it to them and they would create a revenue stream for themselves. That's an absolute one of the use cases that we envisioned, and I'm happy that you brought that up.
I'm just trying to think of the easiest one. Having covered that, it is important to know what is your starting point. Just like Amazon was very successful because they started with something like books, because they're pretty standardized. And if I know the title, I know what I'm going to get. There's no quality differential. It's more or less the same size to be shipped. So they had a lot of benefits of starting with that. So what is your low-hanging fruit? Where are you planning to start?
Yeah, so great question. So our initial partners, we have in hype type of clothing. So think of like Supreme, Obey, and others. So we're working with some big time names that you'll see over the next few months that will let shoppers come in and be able to buy Yeezys, for example, on the blockchain. Very exciting. And then also at the same time, there's been a lot of censorship in the juice industry for vaping, for instance. So a lot of these vendors have been getting kicked off of their Amazon version of sales, a marketplace, ejuice.co. So they're getting tired of paying high fees, and they're wanting to come in and create cross-pollinate. And then the last one we're working on is cars. So we have a few car vendors that are wanting to share inventories and having one people come in and be able to see cars located within their vicinity. Those are some of the few use cases that we have going forward, but it's really up to the community, like whoever's interested in getting in. We could do sales of crypto kitties, we could do digital media, we could do music, art. There's tons of different verticals we could get into. It's really up to our users and what they like and what they want to build, and we'll help them achieve whatever they're looking to buy on a decentralized e-commerce network.
Yeah, because you are essentially building a protocol that can scale, and you're going to take care of that. That's your primary objective, and let whoever finds this protocol useful come on board and let them grow.
Right. And then the most important thing about that is being a nonprofit, nonpartisan, no bias, no censorship. We want to be able to have integrity on our network. So we've created another revenue stream for arbitrators and validators to come in and validate things on the network to ensure that there's no illegal, illicit items posted online, ensure the integrity of the actual item. So, for instance, if it says a Samsung Galaxy phone and it's a picture of an iPhone, there's a way we could, incentivize people to flag those items and, work with sellers to resolve any type of inaccuracies on this global inventory.
Okay, so there are ways in which you're decentralizing upkeep of quality as well. So,
yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so you mentioned that you're a nonprofit. How does that, because I see partners like Science, Blockchain, and Deloitte. So do you have, if you're a nonprofit, how are you funded right now? And how do you plan to make money? What's the motivation?
Yeah. So, right now we're funded by donations. Okay. Just like, we partner with Science. They've come in and they bring a lot of background in e-commerce and blockchain, having done a token sale of their own, and talking with people like Mike Jones, Greg Gilman, Talia Rosenthal. They've been instrumental in helping us build our ecosystem, messaging, marketing, and go-to-market strategy. And having built e-commerce companies such as like Dollar Shave Club and others that are currently in their system right now, you know, we were perfect match. Come in and work with them and work with some of their other companies that are in the Science portfolio and adding their inventory to the blockchain. So that's how we got in a partnership with Science. And then, you know, Deloitte is more helping us with our, you know, tax side of things, especially since, you know, more so internal stuff. But, you know, we do have questions about how is this going to affect people in tax. So, like, you know, we're working in New York. I'm a seller in New York. I'm a buyer in California. There's this decentralized protocol. How does tax work in this whole infrastructure of decentralized e-commerce? So, you know, their advice and guidance in that will be great in establishing compliance. Tax compliance practices within the split protocol.
Okay, but neither of them is investing in you, so you're getting your money by donations. Is that correct?
Yeah. So we've had a donation, you know, from Science, a Science partnered company. You know, and, you know, right now, you know, we're going to be operating and moving forward, as is. And then, you know, we may or may not, do a token launch. We're still contemplating if that's the route we want to go. You know, at some point, me and my partner, Jason, we thought that, you know, token launches and generation events are a great way to fund, nonprofits, which would then otherwise been, underfunded, right? So we're still navigating and contemplating if that's the route we want to go.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you're contemplating rather than do a white paper and a website. Glad you're contemplating because I think now we have reached the blockchain 2.0 or ITO 2.0, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
So, people are looking for some substance, tired of something that does not have substance behind it. So I'm very happy you're thinking about that. So how do you guys make money? In the sense, is it going to be like maybe the person who, Satoshi Nakamoto, who started off Bitcoin probably makes money because the first couple of million Bitcoins that he mined, he probably have just saved it and they grow in value over time. So because you're going to be using a blockchain, and I'm assuming there may or may not be a token sale, but there will be some kind of a token to deliver the value and measure the value of each of these players.
Right.
So how exactly does the management team intend to make money?
Yeah, so great question. So, you know, right now, first and foremost, our mission is to work ourselves out of a job. So we, you know, just like Bitcoin, you know, after, you know, a few years, it became a social public utility of, well, it's not a social public utility. It became a self-autonomous, self-organizing currency. Or store of value, depending on where you fall in that camp. So what Split's mission is to work ourselves out of a job and become a social public utility for the people, managed by the people, operated by the people, and have very, very low cost and input at that point after 5 to 7 years from Split. You know, we want to keep this you know, operated by the people with minimal input from us long term. And in the interim, you know, yeah, some of the managed team, will, you know, again, we're contemplating and keeping some tokens for ourselves if that's the way it's going to go. But this is more, you know, grassroots. Let's feed, the ecosystem. Let's get, you know, players, you know, excited and happy about being able to take power of how they, operate their online businesses, you know, getting people excited about being able to curate their own online e-commerce experience. So these are their, you know, these are our missions first and foremost. And as far as, you know, personally, you know, I've had, you know, the good fortune of to be able to make good money in my career, you know, like with jobs like at Deloitte and being in finance before. So, you know, we're very teal minded, you know, it's more about our purpose. Profits somehow will follow, whether if it's me being able to, you know, start a side consulting company that helps companies integrate to the Split protocol, or, you know, building my own marketplace, you know, and possibilities are endless. So it's not just about money. It's really about the purpose and delivering the value to society and building this social public utility.
And are you launching, which is the first country you plan to launch in?
In the US. So we're a US-based company, and, you know, looking to, you know, launch in the US. It's our backyard. But, you know, we're very open to, you know, moving, you know, to overseas markets. If there is anybody who's interested, reach out to us and we'll work with ways to get you connected to this split protocol.
Yeah, I'm curious only because if you take, I made a podcast on Venezuela and the Venezuelan currency of Bolivar losing 98% of its value in the recent times and having 1600% inflation rate and so on and so forth this year. So we actually have a country that has a very strong use case for cryptocurrencies. Everybody, nobody seems to be wanting to hold the Bolivar, the local currency. Instead, they are in Bitcoins. And when they're standing in a line to buy a movie ticket, they sell just enough Bitcoin to buy the movie ticket in Bolivars and they're fine.
Yeah.
So my question is, if you are a protocol that's enabling e-commerce and there is a country that is kind of begging for cryptos, again, it's totally out of the box, something that you might want to look into is... just comes to my mind saying, you want to go to a country which is like, if you're selling water bottles, you go to a country where there's no water and they're going to grab it. So that somehow struck me as if I were, all things being equal, if I were to start something like this today, I'm thinking maybe I will look into that.
Absolutely. So like I said, we want to deliver the maximum value with highest quality, right? So doing something in your backyard where you could, you know, get the feedback, work out the kinks and everything like that is instrumental. Our biggest currency, you know, for Split is feedback, right? So be able to understand what the customer's needs are and be able to iterate and build something that, you know, the users want and ensure that they're getting the value and experience they want out of this protocol. But like you said, yeah, absolutely. We'll love to collaborate with you or anybody else with different countries that, you know, are in dire need of a new e-commerce infrastructure. And we'll love to help pioneer and build something, you know, whether it's Venezuela, somewhere in Europe, Southeast Asia, Africa, doesn't matter. We'd love to be there and help out and build a new infrastructure.
Well, I hope you get some good responses from our listeners that need something like this, because I just go out on a limb and make a prediction. So I believe that given that you are looking at the polarized market of pro Amazon versus maybe don't care about Amazon or Amazon doesn't care about them, maybe for Amazon, if you take the 80-20, there are 20% of the countries out there that Amazon really cares about. And and the rest of them might be non-consumers of either e-commerce or cryptocurrencies or a combination thereof.
Right.
And in that space, you're looking at Amazon doesn't seem to care too much about cryptocurrencies yet. So you go to countries that are hungry for crypto and then introduce e-commerce and combine them. That's the way I would think is, first of all, I want to avoid this 800-pound gorilla and I want them to totally ignore me thinking they don't know what they're doing. What a waste of time. And that gives opportunity for a split-like company to grow and build themselves, you know, just like Amazon itself did. You know, when Amazon started off with books, do you think Walmart was shaking in its pants saying, oh my God, this e-commerce behemoth is coming up? No, they said idiots and ignored them, right? So gives them enough time and space to become bigger and bigger. And suddenly you say, whoa.
Everything serves a purpose, right? So you've went through the dot-com boom. You've had, you know, people like, you know, Amazons and eBays or whatever that built out this network effect for e-commerce and infrastructure. And, you know, I understand that during that time period, there wasn't any blockchain and it was needed to build this network. But now we're moving into this next evolution of e-commerce. The unintended effects that we haven't really understood from 2000, once we started building out this whole, you know, internet essentially and e-commerce, was this centralization of power and it's creating inefficiencies and systematic bottlenecks that's inhibiting, you know, fair opportunity for anybody to be able to come in and build an online business without having to use Amazon or play by Amazon's rules. So I think we're shifting as a society away from these central entities and how they get to decide and dictate, you know, how people should be, you know, behave. And it's usually driven by profits, right? You know, they're a capitalistic market, and they have shareholders and they're a public company and they have to do right by their shareholders. There's nothing wrong with that. I think we're just moving to a new phase of society where it's going to be, driven by the people, self-autonomous, self-organized, and blockchain enables us to have that governance in place to be able to, you know, operate and, you know, remove any type of dead weight loss in these markets.
Yeah. And all that I was predicting was, I think your success will happen when your purpose meets the pain or that people are having.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That section is
absolutely.
I'm suggesting. Are there other points you wanted to make to our listeners? Maybe questions I did not ask, Cyrus?
Yeah. So, you know, we talked about, Split being, you know, a blockchain powered ecosystem. You know, what we really want to position ourselves more so than just the cryptocurrency is, you know, we're this new internet of shopping, just like the internet was created. It, no one really owns the internet, right? It's there for everybody and there's a lot of value and it really decentralized information, right? So I could go in there and I could just go on Wikipedia or Google anything I want and be able to learn right there on a whim rather than that information being stuck in someone else's head. For Split, I see it more so what the internet did for, moving information around the world, what's going to do for moving assets around the world and availability and liquidity of assets for everybody who might have not had the ability to buy something at cost that they could afford. You know, Split will enable that to happen. I see Split more than just the cryptocurrency. It's really a new lifestyle. A new e-commerce lifestyle and paradigm shift away from where we are today. And ultimately, you know, I think the most successful blockchain startups or cryptocurrencies will be the ones that, you know, users don't really even know they're using cryptocurrency. Cryptocurrency and smart contracts are just the guardrails to ensure, you know, safe and secure transactions. Those will happen all in the background. And as we start moving forward, you know, I would love to see new innovations come in where, you know, people don't even know if they're using blockchain.
Awesome. Well, from us at Crypto Nights, we wish you the very best and we are thankful to you for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you. I'm really excited to be on Crypto Nights and love to come on anytime in the future.
And thank you, listeners. We appreciate you listening to this episode. But I remind you, as always, go to iTunes and rate us 5 stars. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Crypto Nights. Never miss an episode. Subscribe now at www.cryptonights.io.